Chapter 1. Those on the Gallows. It was a beautiful morning to execute bleeders. That was what the people of Celestia whispered, whether they spilled out of the coffee houses of the Mirror Isle or trekked up from the gated townhouses of the Crescent. That was what they had to say. On days like today, when the grey city glittered beneath winter sun, or on days when the sky was black and the cobblestone slick with rain, it was a beautiful morning to execute bleeders, if you didn't want them to think you were a bleeder yourself. Tanis scowled at the waves of winter coats ahead of her, yet she crunched through the snow with the crowd, grateful that the blizzard of the White Dawn had passed. It was a familiar route along wide streets, past frosted shopfronts and colourful market stalls open despite the early hour. Hawkers trumpeted their wares with gusto, eager to profit from the murder to come. Tanis was less infused about the murder, but she sought profit too. It was the reason she came every month, to slip among them, filling her pockets with the valuables she lifted from the folds of their clothing. Her thievery didn't save any lives, but it sure made her feel better. Made her richer, too. The press of bodies loosened as they funneled into Executioner's Square, and Tanis rolled her shoulders. She could have done with a lazy morning, if only for the sake of the deepening bags beneath already dark eyes. But there was something particularly satisfying about filching from under the noses of those that had most liked to see her in chains. Besides, it was something of a ritual at this point. It had ached at first, to be here, after years of staying away, but the gnawing sense of wanting had faded over time. So what if the gallows stained the square beneath the shadow of the Windwalker's church? It wasn't like the Windwalker knew shit about it. Her place of worship was boarded up, the magic locked away, and the Windwalker was long dead. There was nothing to be gained from yearning for days long past. Still, she couldn't help glancing at the towering white columns and green domes of the building that had once inspired awe. Just 15 years ago, this corner of the Mirror Isle had been a place of reverence, rumoured even to be the spot where the witches had founded the city of Celestia, 1,000 years before that. Now, the crowd pointedly ignored the old edifice. They shuffled instead to the Blackstone Courthouse on the square's northern edge, looming behind the murder-worn gallows. The witches had only been gone 15 years, but they felt an age away. These people had been willing to forget the moment the Guardian dangled wealth before their eyes. Tanis couldn't forget entirely, but she'd found her place in this new world, so she shuffled with the rest, turning her back on the church. Her arm brushed against the man walking beside her. A moment later, his wallet was in her pocket, and she was burying her smirk in her scarf. That was in honour of whoever died first. Shaking away the ghosts of the past, Tanis flexed her fingers and focused. She weaved through bodies, keeping an eye out for her next mark. She could only justify the risk of coming here if she made it worth her while. The trouble with winter was that snatchable trinkets, like watches or jewellery, were hidden beneath layers. She'd make bigger hauls in short summers, but Tanis had plenty of experience by now, and it was remarkable how stupid rich people could be with their wealth. There, a gleaming button hanging by a loose thread was quickly a gleaming button tucked under her glove. She moved fluidly, head turned away from her hands, barely scuffing the snow beneath her boots. Tanis used the crowd to her advantage, lifting purses with one step and disappearing with another, ever conscious of the squat black tower at the far end of the square. It was known as the Spike, and it burrowed deeper below the ground than it stretched above. The condemned would have been transferred to its jail the night before, guarded by the hounds. Tanis had no intention of getting close. Ahead, the crowd began to pack and still, so Tanis veered left, away from the front and away from the Spike. Her pockets were decidedly heavier than they'd been when she'd left the pit that morning, but she'd not lifted nearly enough for her taste. If she was going to work right up until the execution, she didn't want to get caught in a bad position. Slipping between scowling gentlewomen and gossiping lords, she glanced back to check she wasn't being tailed, and she caught something glinting out of the corner of her eye. Back the way she'd come, too close to the eager press at the front of a crowd, and Tanison knew she should let it be. Tanis did not let it be. But she was fast. In moments she was beside the man. In seconds her hand darted into his gaping pocket and back again. The man glanced down at her, eyes narrowing, but Tanis didn't miss a beat. She leaned into him, as though she'd been pushed. "Sorry, sir," she gasped, squeezing his arm and shooting an accusing look at another man behind them. The first gentleman peeled away from her touch, looking absolutely disgusted that he'd been befouled in such a way. She chuckled softly to herself, her thumb rubbing the polished gold of his watch in her pocket. A metallic groan ached across the square, and Tanis's laughter caught in her throat. Silence fell. Stillness seized the square, and even the birds settled to watch. Tanis turned with the rest as the iron gate of the spike began to rise. But the rest weren't panicking like she was. Too close. She shot a look back towards the church and her usual position near the steps. She could force her way over, against the tide, but she'd stand out. Sure, here she wasn't close to any of her planned escape routes, but she'd never actually needed one. Would today be any different? She chewed her lip, fixing her gaze on the spike once more. And now the crowd buzzed with anticipation, not quite excited, but wholly accepting, because this was just the way of things since the Guardian had taken control of Krisnos. The condemned would have frozen in their shackles for hours, suffered through one last night of misery. Their blood was golden, so they were abominations. They'd lived for years in hiding, only to be caught now. And it simply wasn't worth being caught. "Didn't think I'd ever find you." Tanis jumped, her gaze lurching up. Her best friend, Lucky, stood at her shoulder, green eyes bright against pale white skin. It was rare anybody could sneak up on her, let alone him, and she scowled, more at herself than anything. Another mistake. Just because she'd done this 100 times didn't mean she could relax. Taking a long breath of icy air, she shook off some of the tension. She just needed to be careful, and she'd be fine. She always was. "What are you doing here?" she asked. His eyebrows disappeared into the sandy tangle of his hair. "I'm not the one needing to answer that." "Did Ralph send you?" Lucky's eyes swung towards her. "You really think he'd need to?" It was anger born of concern. He'd begged her to stop coming here countless times. She wasn't about to tell him she'd drifted this close to the spike accidentally. Instead, she nudged him and grinned. "I'm glad you're here. I'll need a boost to see." He didn't quite manage to mask his smile. Then all smiles faltered at the very moment the iron gate finally shuddered to a halt, and the familiar clanking of armour and chains rattled over the crowd. Tanis took a deep breath, grabbed Lucky's shoulder, and pushed up on her toes. It didn't matter if she picked 1 or 20 pockets beforehand. This was never easy to stomach. She'd not developed a taste for watching innocent people die. But, for the child she'd once been, staring at the stars with hope in her heart, she'd at least bear witness. The prisoners emerged first, squinting against the glaring sun. They tried to lift their hands to shield their eyes, only for manacles to bite raw wrists. Tanis's eyes narrowed. They were filthy, emaciated. Even if they tried to run, they wouldn't get anywhere. Why not let them die with dignity? If bleeders were such abominations, why draw it out and make them suffer? Just end it. Just... Her thoughts jolted as the hounds stepped into the light. She ducked instinctually, Lucky shifting to accommodate her. 4 out of the 12, or at least 4 out of the 12 that hung around the city. There were more, somewhere. There'd been hundreds with the Guardian, some claimed thousands, the night the witches died. Sunbeams glinted off black armour, their faces entirely hidden beneath wicked helms, shaped for the beasts they were named after. The silence became something else in their presence. A lack of noise. A space of fear. Anybody could be taken by the hounds, and nothing could stop them. They were the strongest, the fastest, and they acted with the Guardian's authority. If you weren't a bleeder, you might be hiding a bleeder, and if they wanted you, none would stand to defend you. Not anymore. At least if your blood was red, you might get a fair trial. But there were only four, and they were focused on the prisoners, so Tanis could breathe easy. It wouldn't be long now, and she... Lucky's grip on her tightened at the very moment she saw him. Her breath hitched. Her head spun. The Bloodhound, the dog that guarded the Guardian most loyally, stepped into Executioner's Square. Nobody knew his name, or his face, but all knew to fear him most. And Tanis had not expected him to be here. She took one step back, then caught herself, clutching Lucky's cloak until her knuckles were white. It was too late. If she ran, it would cause a scene. Jaw tight, Tanis could do nothing but stand frozen with all the rest. It was said the hounds could sniff out bleeders, and the Bloodhound could find you even if you fled the length of Krisnos. Tanis had always dared the executions because of the bleeders on the gallows, the scent of them overpowering anyone else. But the Bloodhound being here changed things. For as long as she could remember, his rattling voice and his blood-red helm had invaded her sleep, an ever-present shadow. It had been years since she'd stood this close, watching that helm survey a silent crowd. Conscious of Lucky at her side, Tanis forced herself to calm. He was never going to let up about the executions now. The hounds arranged the prisoners on the gallows, but the Bloodhound moved apart. Tanis's eyes tracked him, catching his helm in flashes through the crowd. The moment he moved towards her, she'd go. It didn't matter that the City Watch were also stationed around the square, scanning for trouble. She was faster than them. She could get away. As long as Lucky didn't do anything stupid for her sake, it might work. She could feel him taut with tension beside her, his grip tight on her arm, and her stomach sank. Because, of course, he would do something stupid for her sake. Half a step was all she managed, trying to put space between them, before he scoffed and shot her a dark look. No chance, was the very clear message. Fine. They'd watch the damn thing together. With one eye monitoring the splash of red that was the Bloodhound's helm, Tanis forced herself to remember why she stayed, once the pickpocketing was done. To remember those that died. And so, she studied the prisoners for the first time. Men and women, young and old. Once, they'd have thought they had nothing in common. Some would have been rich, some poor. Some would have been good, some bad. Now, they were all one and nothing more than the colour of their blood. Golden. 15 years ago, they would have been revered as Starbloods, descended from the witches themselves. Now, they were nothing but filthy bleeders. A middle-aged man, with greying hair and yellow teeth, muttered fervently to himself. The woman at his side worked hard to look unmoved by her plight, but she couldn't hide her shaking hands. Tanis never knew the people lined up on the frozen wood, but bleeders were all that remained of the witches. This moment was the only bond she could afford. She may not know their names, but she'd remember their faces. The Bloodhound shifted, the slice of his armour cutting the air, and Tanis shoved all incriminating thoughts from her mind. Moving sharply, the hounds responded to their commander's subtle instruction. The heavy silence in the square watched them work. There was nothing gentle in how they readied each noose, but there was no cruelty in it either. They executed orders with the same cool precision that they executed people. Tanis wondered if souls existed under their armour at all. The sun moved behind a cloud, casting a shadow across the gallows. The crowd seemed to shiver as one, and while, for some, it was a shiver of apprehension, for many it was a thrill. Tanis was jostled a step as people pushed forward, hoping for a better view. It was a lesson hard learned that while some simply feared being branded a sympathiser, most believed in this justice. Most believed bleeders were monsters that simply shouldn't exist. Tanis allowed herself the flush of satisfaction. They'd certainly believe that of her, if they knew how much she'd stolen from them over the years.
Wait!
The silence cracked open. Heads turned, whispers rose. Tanis tried to dig her boots into the snow, but whatever commotion spilled in from behind rolled forward like a wave. A woman stumbled, breaking between Lucky and Tanis, and then more filled the space between them. Lucky's eyes widened, but Tanis was too slight to push back, so she shook her head and flashed him a smile. She'd see him later. She'd be fine. She looked away quickly, so she could pretend she'd reassured him. Elbows braced, Tanis planted her feet and angled towards the edge of the crowd. She didn't know what was happening, and she wanted no part of it, so she was happy to take advantage of the distraction by putting distance between her and the gallows. Others were taking advantage too. She felt a weight lifting from her side, the touch of a fellow opportunist. The second she took to slam a hand down over grasping fingers was one second too many. Stronger hands crashed against her shoulders, another surge coming from behind, shoving her forwards. Distracted and off balance, Tanis stumbled. By the time she righted herself, she realized with a jolt that she wasn't far from the front of the crowd. Her pulse pounded as her eyes brushed over the bloodhound. She could have sworn he looked her way. Paranoid. His attention was fixed on the cause of the commotion, the boy that burst from the crowd and fell to his knees in the snowy space between the gallows and the stakes that partitioned the crowd.
"Please," the boy cried, lifting bare palms. "He's no bleeder, I swear."
"Idiot," Tanis fought, keeping her gaze down. The bloodhound inclined his head. The boy, perhaps a year or so younger than Tanis's 18, shuffled forwards, believing the nod to be encouragement. He didn't notice one of the hounds jump off the gallows, landing in a puff of white. The man with the yellow teeth and a rope around his neck cried out, lurching forwards as best he could. If the boy heard, he didn't show it. He continued to beseech the bloodhound, and the crowd murmured.
"I swear it, sir, his blood is red. Test him, you'll see."
The hound was on the boy in free strides. A gauntleted fist cracked into his temple, and the boy slumped to the snow. Tanis's gaze flinched away as the man, his father, she assumed, howled. Some around her shifted uncomfortably. A few faces might have paled a touch, but that was as much as the boy's abrupt death bothered them. Even with the spread of red blood against white snow, he was one of them, not a bleeder, yet none would question the bloodhound. The yellow-toothed man sobbed, his wretched cries shattering the still air, but he was alone in his grief. Tanis felt pity, the faint kiss of a long-buried anger, but nothing more. If you were stupid enough to get caught, you knew what to expect. If you were stupid enough to trust somebody with your secret, you should have known better. And if you were stupid enough to beg for mercy from the bloodhound? Well.
"I'm no bleeder."
Tanis's head snapped up. A woman on the gallows stood rod straight, dark eyes swooping over those come to watch her die with crackling defiance. Her voice rung through the deathly silent square a second time.
"I'm no bleeder."
A young girl, her eyes suddenly bright with hope, looked up at the woman beside her. Licking parched lips, she croaked,
"Me neither."
A bald man, doomed to die, roared,
"My blood's red."
The hounds moved. The woman took a fist to the stomach. The girl's head was yanked back by her hair. But they were going to hang anyway, and they wouldn't be silenced.
"Not a bleeder, not a bleeder, not a bleeder."
Tanis's stomach flipped. This wasn't normal. This had never happened, not even in the early days. Now the crowd whispered,
the wealthy folk of the Mirror Isle finally looked uneasy. Flicking her gaze to the side, Tanis sought escape, a path to slip away unseen, but nobody else moved. Maybe with everything going on they'd not notice her, but she didn't deal with maybes. Chills rippling over her skin, Tanis turned back to the Bloodhound. He was still amongst the rising clamour, until he raised a fist, and the silence was absolute once more. Tanis let out a long breath as that fist fell. The hounds kicked the boxes and the cries of the condemned were cut off with a whoosh of air. Bodies fell, ropes snapping taut. Crack, crack, crack. Tanis's jaw tightened with each snapped neck, and then it was worse because three yet lived. The man with the yellow teeth was one of them. As his legs twitched and his face turned purple, he never looked away from the boy lying dead in the snow. Tanis kept her eyes on that man until the end. Then it was done. It was over. Dropping her gaze to her feet, Tanis steadied herself, ready to turn with the rest of them and put this miserable morning behind her.
Abominations!
It was like cracked ice, smashed open, and Tanis flinched. One word was enough to remind these people where they were and what was expected of them.
Demons! Death to bleeders!
Tanis planted her feet and hunched her shoulders, but the crowd came alive once more. They surged forwards, pushing past the stake line, desperate to prove themselves to the Bloodhound observing them. Children and adults alike hurled snowballs at the bodies, their faces twisted by monstrous snarls. It was one final insult to those killed for nothing. Tanis knew she only had to wait, but her hands curled into shaking fists. It was at that moment, as Tanis fought to keep her gaze down, to hold herself still, that the woman directly in front of her flung back an arm. Her elbow cracked against Tanis's nose, and stars burst across her vision. Instinct. Desperation. She dove into the snow, pressing bare fingertips to her face. They came away wet. Warm. Her stomach turned to stone. She was bleeding. Her head buzzed. She could hear nothing beyond it. She simply watched, the world slowing down as a golden drop splashed against white. Her chest tightened and her limbs locked. Distantly, she was aware of people swarming around her, shins and legs and feet smacking against her. She curled in on herself, for what else could she do? She pressed her face against her arm, barely breathing. A single voice broke through the fog and she shuddered. She couldn't make out his words, but she'd never mistake that rattle. At the Bloodhound's behest, the sudden burst of rage was washed away. Their duty done, their loyalty to the regime proven, the crowd began to retreat. And Tanis's senses returned to her. But that didn't help. If anything, panic clogged her breath. She still couldn't move. If she did, they'd see. Hands gripped her arms. She jerked up. Back. Now she had no choice. Better to try running than to die fighting. Survive. It was all she had to do. She was being pulled against a thin chest by thin arms and she readied herself to... There you are. Lucky. She let out a ragged breath. Keeping her head down, Tanis clung to him as he pulled her up. Shielded by his lanky frame, she dragged a boot through the snow, hiding the traces of her golden blood. She squeezed into him, and he slung an arm around her shoulders, guiding her away. She could only hope she looked overcome, as if she'd never seen people murdered before.
Are you hurt?
Tanis and Lucky faltered as one. She'd never heard that voice turn to her directly. She'd hoped she never would. Slowly, she looked back to the Bloodhound. His black cloak was caught by a gentle breeze, but it was the only part of him that moved as he stared towards her. He stood over the body of the boy, with the bodies swinging from the gallows behind him. The hounds had left them hanging. Tanis wasn't one to pray, but she prayed then, that her hood and her scarf obscured enough of her face to hide her blood, but not so much as to raise suspicion. The bloodhound would see dark eyes, olive skin, one unruly wave of dark brown hair. It wasn't enough for him to mark her. It wasn't enough to make him wonder.
"I'm fine, sir," she said, voice strained.
Fighting every instinct to flee, she turned her back on him.
"Come on," said Lucky, with forced lightness. "Let's get home."
They walked together, across the emptying square and beneath the shadow of the old church. They didn't look back, but Tanis knew the bloodhound was still watching. From how the hairs stood on the back of her neck, to how her heart pounded so loud she feared he would hear it. With each step she winced, waiting for the command to stop and her life to be over.
"Over there!"
That wasn't the bloodhound's voice. Tanis's head bobbed up to find a man pointing at her from across the emptying square. Frowning, it took her a moment to recognise him. The man she'd pickpocketed. She glanced down to find the golden chain of his watch hanging from her pocket. She noted, for the first time, the red ribbon tied around it. It was a particularly distinguishing feature. Shit. Lucky tensed. The bloodhound watched. And Tanis rolled her eyes towards the Windwalker's church, as if a dead witch might be able to help after all.
"Thief!" the man shouted.
To which Lucky muttered, "Huntress, take us." And then they ran, as fast as the wind would carry them.